Well, from China, we travel now to the United States because deadlock in the House of Representatives continued for a second day straight yesterday. Republicans failing to elect a leader amid infighting within the party over who should succeed Nancy Pelosi as House Speaker. Well, to discuss this and also to look ahead at the year in US politics, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post. We're normally talking over a phone line across the Atlantic.
Marion, great to see you.
Great to have you here. So listen, let's talk about what happened, this extraordinary situation that we saw unfolding. Kevin McCarthy, endorsed by Donald Trump, but not right-wing enough for some Republicans. Is that where we're at?
That is pretty well, in a nutshell, where we're at. And the whole situation, to me, is just such an indication of the self-destructive tendencies of that wing of the Republican Party. Because, there, you know, Kevin McCarthy, just a little bit of background, he came in 2010 with Eric Cantor and Paul Ryan, and they wrote a book to announce their arrival in the House, and it was called The Young Guns. And it showed the three of them in these really sharp suits, and they had their arms folded, and they had the National Monument shrunk behind them. And the message was that they were bigger and more powerful than the Washington National Monument.
Okay, we're getting a sense of who we're dealing with.
We're getting a sense of the egos here. So they announced themselves as Cantor was the leader, McCarthy was the brains, and I beg your pardon, Cantor was the leader, Ryan was the brains, and McCarthy was, well, you know, okay, well, Kevin can be the strategist. Now, Kevin McCarthy, to put it mildly, is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and it's not, no disrespect to him. He went to his local community college in Bakersfield. He won a 5,000 lotto ticket and he parlayed it into opening a deli. Now, the deli did quite well, but there is an element of snobbery in Congress, and I've heard a lot of snide remarks about that. I say fair play to him. You know, he ran a deli, but Paul Ryan was very, very smart. Now, Eric Cantor got run out of Congress after just one term. He became leader and then he was defeated in a primary. So that was young gun number one gone. Paul Ryan quit then at the end of 2018, couldn't take Trump. And now we're left with Kevin McCarthy, who everyone realised was, as I said, not the brightest. Now, the guys that are surrounding him, his henchman, Jim Jordan, who they actually really used to dislike each other. Jim Jordan wants to be head of the Judiciary Committee. It's possible at this stage Jim Jordan could become the Speaker. Jim Jordan was a wrestler, which accounts for his pugnacity to a large degree, who went to a law school in America. There are 197 law schools in America, law universities. He went to the one that was ranked 195. Mm-hmm. And that was the one he got into, the second from the bottom of almost 200. Again, not a particularly bright guy, but very pugnacious. Kevin McCarthy has a problem in that, as I say, he's not strategic, he's not particularly smart, and he wants people to like him. So he gives away the farm to everyone. He says yes to everyone. As a result, nobody respects him. I spoke with Nancy Pelosi's spokesperson Drew Hamill about 6 months before she resigned. And he said the thing with Nancy Pelosi, the reason she was so respected and so effective, he said she just doesn't just know everything that is going on in all 200 plus districts of every one of the Democratic representatives. He said she knows their family background. She knows if they're having trouble at home, if they've got a sick child, if they're having marital problems. And he said she works with all that information to maximise the most. The Republicans work with brute force and threats. That's how they operate at the moment. And it's just not effective. But this has been going back to the Tea Party days, where guys like Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all these people, they operate on the basis that they want to get attention. They want to be in front of a camera. They don't want to legislate because that's boring. But the more time they spend in front of a camera, the more they build their own profile and the more money they raise from the far right of the party. So as I say to them, it's almost counterproductive to have an orderly transition. They want to be causing chaos. And as a McCarthy...
But this looks awful, and it's playing into Democratic hands as well.
I mean, have you seen them sitting there with their arms
folded?
Absolutely.
And even President Biden saying, you know, look,
get it together.
It's not really my responsibility. Yeah. And he also seems to want to just sit back and fold his arms and watch this implode.
It shows, like, there is, it's sort of recognised that Republicans in government, they will obstruct, but they can't govern. They don't do the heavy lifting that you need, as I said, to get. And there are huge problems, the border, there's all kinds of things happening. 2023 is going to be such a volatile year anyway, but they want to obstruct. And as I said, it is a problem that they haven't had decent Republican leadership in the House in a really long time.
So they're reconvening at 5 o'clock to try this vote again, are they?
Yeah, you know, and you almost, at this stage, McCarthy is so fatally weakened that even if he was weak going into this, because everybody knew there were holdouts and everybody knew, and he gave away so many concessions. One of the worst ones he gave away is this thing called a motion to vacate. That means that normally if you want to get rid of your speaker in the Republican Party, you've got to have 50 representatives who will agree to it, and then they hold a majority vote. Now it's down to just 5, which means any 5 of those holdouts, those troublemakers, the Matt Gaetzes, the Paul Goldsart, they just have to say, we want you out.
And he's
so
gone.
So he can't govern anyway.
And did he lose a vote after he made that concession?
Yeah, even
see,
afterwards.
It's pointless.
So they just want, there is a group, as I say, and it's quite a considerable group that doesn't really want to govern. They want to cause chaos. They exist before Trump, but he really gave them energy and gave them life. And now we're really looking at the implosion of the Republican Party. It will at some point recover. They will at some point get strong leaders. But they're now looking at, I mean, this Paul McCarthy was the guy. The irony to me is he refused to defend Liz Cheney. He refused to defend Adam Kinzinger. He refused to defend Peter
Major.
This is Kevin McCarthy. Yeah. He let them be just run out of Congress. If they were there now, he'd be Speaker. They would have voted for him because they want order. They want order and governance.
And how do you think this will be fixed, resolved?
The worst case scenario to me is that Jim Jordan could become Speaker. I mean, I think
wrestler.
It would be the former wrestler. I think it would be appalling. It could also be, I think what's more likely is Steve Scalise, who's Kevin McCarthy's deputy at the moment. Steve Scalise, he was the representative who was shot, who almost died on the pitch during the baseball practice game back in 2017. He's much more culturally, ideologically far right than Kevin McCarthy. He is a real cultural, ideological conservative. And I think that the far right, the holdouts might go with him. They just don't want McCarthy. They hate McCarthy for reasons, as you say. But it also shows, I don't know if it shows Trump's waning power that even when he said, come on, guys, vote for Kevin, they wouldn't. Or if there's some nefarious plot going on behind all of this, because, you know, now this won't happen, but it is theoretically possible. You don't have to be a representative to be Speaker of the House. They could drag you in tomorrow and say, listen, let's all vote for Claire Byrne. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you might do a much better job. but so in theory, Donald Trump could be voted an elected speaker. You know, there could be somebody else outside that they are thinking about bringing in, because it all seems to me, you know, really
almost too messy.
Almost too messy. Yeah. And guys like Matt Gaetzes, when Trump says jump, he says how high. He doesn't say Trump wants me to vote for McCarthy, sad, which is what he just said. It's I don't know. I mean, can they really be this self-destructive? Possibly, yes.
Yeah, possibly, let's wait and see. Yeah. Now, this congressman-elect, George Santos, I mean, they could have him as speaker, but we don't know who he is, because it seems he's identified as, or he has completely misrepresented himself, and his entire backstory is a fiction.
To an astonishing degree, starting with his primary school, starting with claiming he went to a prestigious scholarship school in the Bronx, you know, as a high school student, which never existed, never went to the colleges he claimed he went to, it goes without saying, never worked for the financial institutions he worked for, it goes without saying. Now, at this stage, he claimed he was of Jewish heritage, that his grandparents were Holocaust survivors. Absolutely untrue. He claimed his mother was working as an executive, a finance executive in the Twin Towers when 9/11 happened. She was apparently, and again, no disrespect to the woman, she was a cook who spoke very little English, apparently. And now he's claimed she died a while ago. He claimed she was killed as a result of 9/11. You know, all this bizarre, but one of his, he was also married, which he concealed. Now, he claims to be the first openly gay congressman to be elected. Let's accept that he is gay, but why conceal your marriage? Why claim you were never married? A former lover of his says that he stiffed every landlord on his rent, that he bounced checks left, right and centre, that he would tell him when they were partners, I'm taking you to Hawaii tomorrow, and then he'd roll around the house in his pyjamas all day and say, oh, the ticket's got lost in the post. I mean, this guy, I would say almost, like, we have had a few chuckles about him, but there must be a level of mental instability there. To me, that there are two big faults here, two embarrassments. One is the media. You know, a hands up that he was running against a prominent Democrat, Tom Rotsey, who was well known, who was a successful representative, and he came out of nowhere. Why was everything taken at face value? And the same with the Republican National Committee, because they put this guy up. Yeah. They promoted him. They helped to fund him. And so now there are a whole bunch of other investigations going on, as in his campaign finance, what laws he may have broken there, etc., etc. So, and
will he be allowed to serve?
Yes, and at the moment, because Kevin McCarthy can't afford to lose a vote. He's a vote for Kevin McCarthy at the moment. And so there is no process in place at the moment. Like, if this were a job, if he'd come for a job here, he'd be fired immediately. But in the House of Representatives, there's no real procedure to expel someone. The Democrats will put forward a motion saying we want him expelled. It'll be overruled. He will serve, I suspect, with a big red face for 2 years, and then he'll just disappear quietly, or he may resign before that.
I mean, he mightn't have a red face at all, depending on the type of person that he is. And I think we've already made
a judgment on that. Speaker.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tomorrow is the second anniversary of the attacks on the attack on Capitol Hill, January 6th. What will happen? Will it be marked in any way, or is it still too difficult to do that?
You know, I got the email that sent out to all journalists from the White House, and it said that the President, Joe Biden, will have a ceremony in the White House marking the event, the solemnity of the event. It's the second year anniversary. I think that really this is something that won't have a big national marker going forward. It's something where they will say, yes, we remember what happened. The real marker is the January 6th report, which was finished up, the recommendations, the trove of documents that were released. And really now, I think the next significant chapter in this will be, what will the Department of Justice do? What will the special counsel, Jack Smith, who was brought in from the International Criminal Court, who is very well respected within the Department of Justice, what will he do? Because it's all been passed over to him as regards Donald Trump. The Department of Justice has been very active in promoting, I beg your pardon, in prosecuting the 1,000-odd people that it's prosecuted who stormed the building for assaulting police, for criminal damage, for vandalism, etc. They've all been prosecuted. A lot of them are in jail. We saw that the head of the Oath Keepers was convicted as well, Stuart Rhodes. So they've done very well on that. They haven't known what to do with the Trump issue. The report, which, you know, the committee really set a new bar for how to conduct investigations in Congress, and the report is very compelling. I don't know if it makes, if the smoking gun is smoking enough to link Trump, and I suspect Merrick Garland will not bring a case unless he knows he can absolutely win it. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I suspect Mar-a-Lago, Trump will be in criminal trouble over that. We also have the case going on in Georgia, Fannie Willis, the district attorney for Fulton County, who's quietly doing a really good job down there. She forced Lindsey Graham to testify. She forced Rudy Giuliani to testify. She forced a whole bunch of people. It's overshadowed by the January 6th report and the public hearings. But I think watch that space, because if Trump is convicted in that case, he could receive a 3-year prison sentence. Now, I'm not saying he will be. I'm not saying he will even be indicted, but that is a consequential criminal investigation.
So we have that to look out for in 2023. Just in the time we have left, what other markers are you looking towards now this year over the next couple of months?
Well, I'm looking towards CPAC, which is always a bit of a circus in February, where we all go down to Florida and roll our eyeballs. But that will be the face-off between Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, both of whom will be there, I suspect. And so that will be an eventful event, I think. I think one of the big things coming up that we have to watch in all seriousness is the border. You know, and again, this to me, Kevin McCarthy went down there a couple of weeks ago in a big publicity stunt, did nothing except look for attention. It's really up to Congress to pass legislation to bring about some decent immigration reform. I was down there a couple of weeks ago, Claire. It's heartbreaking, the situation. It's the misery and the humanitarian crisis. But Congress won't do anything because they want to make Biden look bad. Mm-hmm. And Biden, his hands are tied. Not that he's, but no president can do it without Congress. And, you know, we're going to have another couple of years of misery and stunts and flying migrants to places where they have no business being, and, you know, they're being used as a political football. So I think that's going to be a big issue. And there will be, it's going to be a volatile year. Of course, the Republicans will all declare, and Joe Biden will have to declare very, very soon whether he intends to seek a second term or not. That's just all the next 6 or 8 weeks. And then, of course, the leadership. It will be, I predict, never a dull moment yet again.
Never a dull moment. Marion, thank you so much. And lovely to have you here with us in the studio. Marion McKeown, US correspondent there with the Business Post. Just some news from Laura Fletcher in our newsroom. Tented accommodation is once again being used to house international protection applicants. Now, we know that last month, the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth said that tented accommodation would cease to operate. But the Department of spokesperson has confirmed now to RTE News that a group of international protection applicants were recently moved into tented accommodation in Meelik in County Clare. And that's the latest news coming from Laura Fletcher in the newsroom. Back after this break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.